But I wanted to start off today just by going a little bit further. Last week, I shared a little bit just about what we feel like the Lord is saying to us as a body for 2018. And we feel like the Lord just gave us a word called build the house. And I wanted to share this because last week we were having technical difficulties, but we got them straightened out this week. But I had some pictures I just wanted to share just to help cast vision. What we see God doing throughout history time and time again is a lot of times He's doing something in the physical alongside of what He's doing in the spiritual. When Nehemiah built the wall, it wasn't just building a wall. There were spiritual dynamics that were at work at the same time. And so last week we talked about the physical aspects of building the house and what God wants to do. And if you don't know, we have this area upstairs on the other side of this wall, and it's just basically this big empty storage space right now. But we have vision for what we'd like to do. We've got a great building here. We've got a great meeting room, which is great for teaching times like this and worship on Sunday mornings. We've got a great fellowship multi-purpose room in the back that we can use. We can hang basketball hoops back there. We can do dinners. We can have receptions and that sort of thing. And in between, we've got smaller classrooms. And so there are certain events which aren't big enough to fill this room, but are too big to fill those classrooms in between. And we can do fellowship or eating in the back, right? But in here is not really conducive to that. And so what we envision is a mid-sized meeting area where we can bring all those dynamics together to where it's not a lecture hall like this with rows of chairs, but more tables and chairs. And let me just show you some of these pictures here. I just pulled these off the internet just to bring some concepts to us. But we've got this big open room up here, and what we'd like to do at this end is maybe just do a smaller stage area where there could be teaching or even smaller scale worship and even some video screens that notes or song lyrics or videos can be played up there. And you can see these smaller, instead of rows, but tables and chairs, sort of like a cafe or a coffee house. But we're not looking for a coffee house. We're just looking to have a different dynamic. And what this will do, it will increase our versatility for what we're able to offer here. And so just a small investment on that size. And so we're looking to create just this mid-size meeting space that will allow, many of you were here financial peace. And so it worked great here, but can you imagine doing it in something like that where it's a little bit more of an intimate setting where it's a little more conversational rather than lecture? So that's what we're looking at physically. And today I want to talk more about our missional focus. It's good to take care of our building. It's good to make it more equipped to serve our needs and perhaps future needs that we have. But we also want to be outward focused and missional focused. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. So let's pray and we'll get into the Word. My Holy Spirit, we love You. Thank You for today. Thank You for this family, this house, Lord, that You're building. We thank You, Father, that Your Word says, unless You build the house, we labor in vain. And we thank You, Father, that You're at work in our midst, Lord. You have not abandoned us. Lord, You have not left us as orphans, but You've come to us. And You are faithful, Lord, to finish the work that You started, Lord, when You sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, when You sent Your Holy Spirit in us to change us and to change the world around us, to renew the face of the earth, Lord, we thank You for that. And we thank You that You're at work here this morning by Your Spirit, by Your Word. And we ask You today, Father, that You would give us ears to hear what Your Spirit is saying to Your church, Lord. We ask You today, Father, that on each heart here, Father, that You would just release a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of who You are. Father, we want more than just simply to have a service. We want more than just filling our minds with good thoughts. Father, we long to be transformed into the image of Christ. And we thank You that will be due in no part to any effort of our own, but that's only by the work of Your Holy Spirit. So we say, come Holy Spirit now. We welcome You, Lord. We submit to Your voice and Your leading this morning. And we ask that You would speak to us and open our eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. Along the lines of building the house, Psalm 68:5 says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. If you were to invite me to your house as I was pulling into your neighborhood, I could look around and I could ascertain, I could see, I could tell certain things about who you are as a person. As I came up to your house, I could observe it and see the condition of the yard, the structure, the size of the house. I could tell certain things about yourself. As I would come into your house, I would see decorations and colorings and the style in which you did things, the rhythm of your house. I could see the layout of it, and I could tell certain things about who you are by what filled your house. And we see here that God, in His holy dwelling, His holy habitation in His house, He is surrounded by that which rightly declares who He is, a Father to the fatherless. This is His house. It's his nature. It's who He is. Mike Bickle has this quote. He says, Father is not a symbolic name for God. It is the nature of His heart. He is a Father, acts like a Father, and has emotions like a Father. You think about home, that place of rest, right? You just come into your house and it's, because everything else is not your home. Everywhere else is not your home. But here is... Sometimes we'll be traveling and we'll be visiting other people in other cities, and we'll join them on Sunday morning to go visit their church. And I'm always observing, I'm always watching, just to stir different creative ideas in my mind. And it may be a great church, but it's not my family. It's not my home. I'm biased. I'm partial. I like it here. I like this place. But there's something about being home where you know these people. They know you. There's a cultural understanding. There's a rhythm. There's something at rest that we get each other. We get how things work. We understand the rhythm, the nature. It's home. And I get this. God is a Father to the fatherless in His holy dwelling. I kind of get this picture in my head of a dad coming into his house and all these kids, this whole mess, this swarm of kids, they're all like jumping all over him and yelling and trying to get his attention. And he's just, most of us, I'd probably be like, all right, everybody calm down. Give me a second to put my stuff down. But God's just like, I'm home. These people get me. I get them. They understand, well, there's a cultural rhythm here. This is where I belong. This is where I get to show who I am. And in His holy temple, He's a Father to the fatherless. And when we understand this word fatherlessness, a lot of times we just think of orphans in an orphanage. But fatherlessness, it takes on this a broad spectrum. There are orphans who have been abandoned by their father. There are those who have been, perhaps dad was around, but he was not loving at all. In fact, abusive. They're the fatherless. There are those who have dads, but they are disengaged. The fatherless. And it's God in His house that He desires to reveal Himself as the Father to the fatherless. These are the fatherless, and God desires to meet them. And that's awesome. That's God up there. That's who He is in His holy habitation in the heavenlies, right? But here's where we come in. Because Ephesians says that we are now being built into the dwelling place of God by His Holy Spirit. The church is the house of God, where the heart and the nature, the Father heart of God to the fatherless, is to be declared. Build my house and fill it with everything that rightly declares who I am. That you and I, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we're actually being transformed. The people of God, the church of God, are to be the house of God, where His heart for the fatherless are put on full display. And so we are to be a people, we're to create a culture that ministers the heart of the Father to the fatherless. Let me point something out to us here. I was just preparing in my notes this week, these thoughts just came to me. But my family's adopted, and the Moultons have adopted. The leaders in North Africa are in the process of adopting. The Murrays in Fargo are in the process of adopting. All of these are people who came through our culture. Is there anyone else that I'm... What's that? I'm getting that in a minute. Hold on. All right? Four families. Look, the Kissicks. Yep. Or another family that came through. Then we've got foster families, where we have the Baileys, who are fostering. Steve and Cheryl, you spent a good part of your life fostering as well. All right. Now, this is starting to, we're starting to see some things here, aren't we? Let me go on and go look back at my list, right? Then you got people here who work with children from hard places. You've got like Amy Laird or Sarah Enriquez in the Deals. Okay, let me share something even about Nicholas Smith. He didn't know I was going to share this, but let me embarrass him a little bit, especially since his in-laws are here, and this will make him look really good, right? But in his neighborhood where he used to live, he started this bike ministry to the children in the neighborhood. Am I getting this right? Where they had to do chores in order to be able to use the bikes. Chores at home so they'd be able to use the bike. It's ministry to the fatherless. I'm all out of fingers now, but let's think about Craig Hagel in the high school. Let's think about Mike Waddell, right? Leading the men's group here. That's all these things are addressing the issue of fatherlessness. I love the band of brothers because what we want to be as a people, as men in the household of God, are those men who will have vision for their lives, vision for their marriages, vision for their families, who will step up into their calling and answer the need of fatherlessness in our community. These are all things that are ministering the father heart of God to our nation, to our community. Not to mention that it was your generosity that has enabled the Psalm 99 comfort boxes. It's your generosity that funds the CRAMs, helping those who are victims of human trafficking in Thailand. It's your generosity through which we do Operation Christmas Child, where the gospel is sent to children in orphanages around the world. It's your generosity as well that supports Reigns of Life, where many times they're ministering to children in hard places. There's something in the air here. There's a resonance of the Spirit that's speaking. Build my house. Fill it with everything that rightly declares who I am. And so we've had this great opportunity with the Psalm 99, with the comfort boxes. Just if you're not aware of what those are, oftentimes in the foster care, as children come into it, they're pulled from a home where they're neglected or endangered. Sometimes it's in the middle of the night and they have just the clothes on their back. And so very quickly they're placed in a new home, in a new community. And that's all that they have. Or sometimes while they're trying to figure that out, they're waiting in an office for several hours while the caseworker's trying to figure out where to put them. So we've got these comfort boxes that are age and gender specific that give the child a toothbrush, a toothpaste, a backpack, activity books, even a snack, something just to feed them while they wait. And of course, in there as well, we have the Word of God. We have a Bible. It's written in a language that younger children can understand, and inside is a presentation of the gospel, and verses throughout the scripture are highlighted for them. I think this is a great opportunity that the Lord has opened up to us. We did this last year, and they ran out of boxes within a few months and said, could you do more? And then other counties around us said, could you do the same for us? My vision is that there would not be a single child who would come through the DFAC system without encountering the love of the Father, that their closet would be stocked full 24/7, 365 days a year, that there would never be any need. Because of our generosity, because of the heart of the Father to the fatherless on us as a people. But beyond that, we've got an opportunity this year to go even further into this. What we've experienced in our journey with adoptions and foster care is that oftentimes people will get they've got this romantic ideal of what it's going to look like. And then not understanding that these children are coming from difficult places and they've got stuff and issues that they need to work through and work through for healing. And so you've got these parents that are so excited about having a child come into their home, and then suddenly this child begins to act out of all their fears, all their wounds, all their abandonment. And the parents, if they don't understand the heart issues, they begin to react to the external demonstrations of what's going on internally. They get frustrated, and we've seen equal to the rise of the need and understanding for adoption within the church community at large, there's also been a rise of disruptions in adoptions as well. And they say it's because of a lack of education. This is something that I found as well. Before we brought Andrew home, Marion Moulton gave us this binder and had all these articles of her research in it. And most of them I had kind of read, but one I had just found that just hit me, and it's like all the lights went on, but it talked about eight issues of regression once a child is adopted, that the parents will bring this child home, and they seems like everything's fine, and then all of a sudden, the child just starts regressing and starts acting way younger than its age and starts doing all these behaviors. If you don't understand what's going on, you just think this child's just acting out and just being a punk. But actually, as you read through the article, it wasn't a Christian article, but I'm seeing things through the lens of a creator God. But actually, God has hardwired into each individual reset buttons to where these children are actually going back to points of connection, points of attachment in their life. And they're actually inviting you to make that bond with them. If you don't understand that, you're going to be reacting to all these externals and not addressing the heart issue and not bringing healing, which is what the father to the fatherless is after. So there's a need for education. Beyond that, oftentimes we found that we hear things like this. They're like, you know what? We adopted or we started fostering and our families don't support us at all. They said, you know, could you watch the kids? Well, we'll watch your kids, but you got to do something else with that child. And repeatedly, even amazingly so to me, they said, our church doesn't support us. And so you think about trying to do a Sunday school class with this kid that's acting out, and the teachers don't understand what's going on. And so it's just sort of, would you keep him out? And so what you find is parents with this need, first of all, of education, and then they're losing community, all because they've tried to step out and give their heart to join God in His heart for the fatherless. So the question is, can the church do anything about this? Will the church have any answer for them? Can the church do anything to meet this need in our community? Well, here's what we have the opportunity to do. Many of you know Stephen Curtis Chapman, and he has an adoption grant agency called Show Hope. And they've partnered with a woman named Karen Purvis and her institute, which deals with attachment issues. She's a believer. Stephen Curtis Chapman, of course, is a believer. So this is a Christian-based teaching. And every year they have a conference in Nashville. And so, of course, it's hard for people of all over our country to get to Nashville. So with the help of technology, what they're doing now is they're simulcasting this. And they said, let's simulcast it into churches, because churches are already set up for meeting, for gathering, to having the audio, visual aids and support that we need to be able to simulcast this. They're already set up, and it gives the churches an opportunity to build bridges of connection into the community. Can you imagine this room full of people who didn't even know this church was here? Full of people who would never enter a church service, but coming because they had a need to attach and connect with their child. The child that they have a heart to see brought to healing and to wholeness. And so what does this look like? We'll move through this real quickly. What does this mean for us? Well, on April 13th and 14th, that's a Friday and Saturday. And it's from 10 a.m. till 6 in the evening. But a little before 10, people will start showing up here. And we want them to be greeted by smiling, shiny, happy people who are just ready to receive them and help them get settled here. If they have children, we'll lead them back to a child care area. We're going to provide that because we want to remove any hindrance or any barrier from these people getting the help that they need. And then they're going to come for a morning session. It's going to be simulcast here. And then we'll break for lunch in the back where we'll have lunch ready and provided for them. And then they'll come back for the afternoon session, and then they'll do it again on Saturday afternoon. And so really, we're not doing any teaching. all we're doing is just being good hosts. But the picture is bigger than just doing childcare or serving lunch. We're building bridges of connection into our community. We're serving these families and bringing healing to their church, to their children. We're ministering the heart of the Father to the fatherless. And the benefits of it are this, is that those coming into attendance, here's the thing, is that you read up there, it's helping families, churches, and professionals as well. Because this conference actually gives professionals continuing education credits as well. But the benefit for our community is this, is that the professionals get continuing education credits, the families learn how to connect with their children, ultimately children are healed. The benefit for us is that we're building connection with families into our community. The benefit for us is growth, is we have an opportunity. I love, sometimes I'll hear about financial counselors and they say they've got such an open door. They'll be invited in and people will share the most intimate part of their lives through their finances. And in that place, they're able to minister Christ. And we have people here who are maybe frustrated, hurted, out of answers, maybe feeling alone in their struggles. But we get to say, first of all, serve them with some answers and then minister Christ to them as well. This is our opportunity that lays before us, and all we have to do really is just simply be good hosts, be hospitable, consider others before our own selves. So what I'm going to need from each of you is, first of all, this: I need people who are just minded in hospitality, who just think, I may not be interested in adoption or fostering, but I want to make people feel welcome. I want to be a part of the solution. So I could do that. I can be out there and I could direct them and make them feel at home and feel comfortable. I may not be interested in fostering or adopting, but I understand that if I take care of their children for these few hours, I'm actually serving the need. I may not be interested in fostering or adopting, but I understand if I just take part in setting up tables or preparing a meal, I'm actually ministering the heart of the Father to the fatherless. And all of a sudden, every aspect of this thing becomes missional. It's not just simply doing a good deed. It's for caring for these families. Now, you may be thinking, well, gosh, Aaron, 10 to 6, 2 days in a row. I'm not asking for an 8-hour commitment for 2 days straight from anybody. But with many hands, there is light work. And we would have no issue whatsoever if everybody just rallied and could just commit to 3 to 4 hours on one of those days. Well, that's a lot more feasible, right? That this could be done, and we could actually reach people. We actually had somebody sign up last night on our website. The conference registration is there. But before all that, we need to get people here. How many of you know somebody outside of our body that's interested or is fostering? Okay. How many of you know somebody outside of our body that's interested or has adopted? Go ahead, let's just keep your hands up for a minute. If you've raised your hand. How many of you know somebody outside of our body that works professionally with children from difficult places? Therapists, counselors, teachers, right? I don't know all those people. But you do, right? And so you can reach them. You can invite them. You can bring them in. You can sell this to them. You can let them know the need. We're going to be in attendance, not because we're having big struggles, but for the same reason that you go to a marriage conference. You want to work on your marriage. You want it to be the very best it can be, right? I want to grow in my capability. I want to grow in my ability to offer counsel. Gosh, we're about to enter puberty with some of our kids, right? I'm going to need some equipping. Right. This is a continual learning thing. And you guys, you all have influence in areas that I don't have reach into. And so I'm going to be getting some invite cards for you, and you can direct people to our website to register for this. And it's going to serve. Can you imagine this room full of people who never even knew this church was here, but they're being served and they're being welcomed into a community that gets it? It's the heart of the fatherless. the heart of the Father to the fatherless, and He's calling us to build His house. Some of you may be asking, well, what about the good news? What about preaching the gospel? Amen. We want to continue to do everything. We want to continue to grow and strengthen and learning to share our faith with those around us. And this is not an evangelistic conference per se, but it is an opportunity to build the connections that will create the opportunities to share the gospel. How many of you received Christ by watching a video? How many of you received Christ because somebody you were connected with shared the gospel with you? Yeah. We're bringing people into the house so they can experience the heart of the Father to the fatherless through our serving them with education, through our serving them with community. We're building bridges. We're opening doors to share the gospel with them. But even taking that one step further, I love what John has to say, and we'll connect this to communion now. But see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. What I love about adoption, what I love about foster care, what I love about ministering to the fatherless is this, is that it takes the love of the Father and makes it tangible, makes it visible, makes it right up front to where you cannot deny it. There's something different going on here. That you would, that somebody would take someone that was not their own and love them as their own. It demonstrates visibly and tangibly the measure of love that the Father gave towards us in Christ Jesus. Think about this. Sometimes I know people, I get this thought, but sometimes people say, well, I don't know how I could love them as my own. But that's the measure of love that the Father has given to us in Christ Jesus, that you and I would be called sons, daughters, children, heirs. We've been brought into His household as His own. And there's no difference. That gets put on full display in adoption, in foster care. We get to not only preach the gospel, but we get to live it. We get to build the house where He's on full display. Sometimes you'll hear this. People say, I've heard this many times in adoption or in foster care. When things get difficult, people will say, well, I don't want to neglect my own children to take care of this one. But Jesus tells the parable about the shepherd that left the 99. To pursue the one. And then Jesus tells us in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He actually gave, sacrificed His only Son so that whoever believes on Him could receive everlasting life. What I love about adoption is it makes visible and tangible. It demonstrates the love of God in a way that speaks louder sometimes than anything we could try and communicate with our words. And what I love about communion is it's been called a sermon for the senses. That not only are we remembering, but we're seeing, we're touching, we're tasting the love of the Father that He's lavished on us in such a way that we might be called sons and daughters, children of God, that we might become heirs, that we might be a part of His household. The Father didn't just simply say, I love you. He didn't just simply write it down in a book, but He demonstrated it. He walked it out. He actually sacrificed His own Son to say, I love you. And we need to frequent the Lord's table because you know what? Maybe you're much holier than I am, but I so easily get wrapped up in my own self-love. And I'm not willing to sacrifice for anyone else. And I'm not willing to lay down the things that I hold dear to myself. But we're reminded and we're brought back to the love of our Father for the fatherless. That it pleased Him to crush His own Son. That He laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And Jesus at the Last Supper, He said, this is my body. It was broken for you. That the Father loved us so much that He actually broke His own Son. He actually crushed His own Son. He actually laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Peter tells us that He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. And not only that, in other words, that in the broken body of Jesus, the wrath, the punishment, the penalty for all of our sins was paid for once for all. Done with. The debt was canceled. It's remembered no more, but just in case that wasn't enough, He actually washes us with His blood so that the stain of remembrance is gone and that there is no longer any hindrance from us knowing fully the love of God, the love of the Father in Christ Jesus. It's visible. We can touch it. We can taste and see His goodness, His love for us. It's made real for us. It's not just simply some sort of religious service that we go through, but He's actually inviting us in to taste, to see, to touch, to remember, to actually let it impact our hearts again in a fresh way. And as we take this, I love this about communion is that it actually goes down into the innermost part of our being and does actually change us. We are what we eat, right? And so it goes down into our innermost being and begins to transform us from the inside out. That we actually, through faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God is actually changing us so that we begin to love like He loves. Love in such a way that we would sacrifice such a great price. Such a great price. Think about this. Some of us maybe resist, 3 to 4 hours on a Saturday. Compared to the sacrifice of His own Son, it seems rather silly and petty. But God wants to work this measure of love into our hearts that would hold nothing back to reaching the fatherless, just like He reached us. So as we file down, here's just what I want to be on our minds and our hearts and our lips. Let's just thank Him. The word Eucharist, it just means thanksgiving. Let's just turn our hearts and our minds and our thoughts and just begin to thank Him. Thank Him for allowing His body to be broken. Thank You for sacrificing Your own Son. Thank You that all my sins have been paid for in full. Thank You that You've washed me and cleansed me whiter than snow because of Your blood. Thank You that You've adopted me. Thank You that You've given me the spirit of sonship by which I cry out, Abba. Thank You that I can know You. Thank You that there's all obstacles have been removed from intimacy with the Father, from knowing You. Thank You that You've revealed Yourself to me as a father, to the fatherless. Thank You for bringing me into Your household. Thank You for calling me a son or a daughter. Thank You. And if you exhaust that list of giving thanks, we can begin to ask Him, Lord, work Your love in my heart even more. But Heavenly Father, we come before You and we thank You for Your word. And we thank You that You have shared with us the fullness of Your heart, the radiance of Your glory, the exact representation of Your nature to us in Jesus. In His life, in His death, and in His resurrection. And Father, today, we confess we don't know Your heart. We don't know Your love like we should. But Father, today we're longing for a greater revelation of Your love for us. Lord, today we're longing, Father, that You would bring us back to a place where that love would transform us in a fresh way. Lord, that love would impact and change our hearts, Lord. That we would not be the same, Father, because we've seen Your love poured out for us at the cross through the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank You for that today. Lord, You didn't have to do this, but Lord, You loved us. You demonstrated Your love for us in that while we were still sinners, You sent Your Son Jesus to die for us. Lord, we want that measure of love to be at work in our hearts. And so we receive fresh again Your love for us shown in Christ Jesus and His sacrifice. And we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Let's receive the Lord's Supper together. Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to become obedient, even to the point of death, even death on a cross. And Lord, we thank you that, Father, we thank you just for the ultimate picture of love, the ultimate standard of love, Father, that you've set before us. And we cannot thank you enough for all the ways that you loved us there in that moment by removing the guilt and the punishment for our sins. And we can't thank you enough for all the ways you've loved us faithfully since. Lord, we thank you that it was your idea for us to call you Father. We thank you for your provision, Lord. We thank you for your even in our failures, Lord, you teach us. Even in our failures, Lord, you don't reject us. Lord, you've not treated us as our transgressions have deserved, Father, but you've had compassion on us and mercy, Lord, and we thank you. That's only been possible because Jesus, you sent Jesus to die on the cross in our place. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the Spirit by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Lord, we want to know this love even more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The body of Christ. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And Father, I thank you, Lord, that your blood, it washes us whiter than snow. I thank you, Lord, that there's no stain, Father, that you've cleansed us completely. I thank you that your blood still has power today to wash us afresh. Lord, we love you. And we just thank you that we can stand before you without any shame, without any guilt. We thank you today that because of your work on the cross, our identity is no longer, Lord, what we are according to the flesh, but who we are in your love, who we are as sons, who we are in Christ Jesus. We thank you that work is perfect, it's complete, it's done, and there's nothing more that we have to earn. Thank you, Father. Thank you for pursuing us. Thank you for accepting us. Thank you for loving us even in our weakness, Lord. We love you and bless you and thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. In your precious name we pray, amen, the blood of Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that your work is going to be completed and perfected in us. Thank you, Lord, that we look not to our own strength, but we look completely and rest in the power of the Holy Spirit that is shedding your love abroad in our hearts. The Lord, that's renewing us daily. Father, that's empowering us to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. That's empowering us to walk in the anointing of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for new life as sons and daughters. Thank you, Father. Lord, that you draw us close to you. And as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Thank you that you have not abandoned us as orphans, but you've come to us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence. Your nearness is our good. Thank you that we've now been called by your name. Thank you for blessing us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, we love you and we celebrate your goodness now. In Jesus' name, amen.